Moving to the speakers. In the past 2 weeks, we spent most of the time discussing what we do with unresolved speakers in halacha, the different rules of something that arises in the chumra, something that arises in the kula, something that arises, etc. Now we're going to move on really to the next major topic, and that's different ways that the Torah gives us to actually resolve speakers. Different qualms that the Torah gives us when we have a situation of a doubt, so perhaps we can decide what to do based on a whole series of different possible halachas. So the first halacha we're going to talk about is the halacha of Rov. So if you have a latest assumption, if you're not sure whether this is kosher or not kosher, look at us, look at the case for me, and you have a Rov pointing in one direction, the majority is pointing in one direction. So we're all familiar with the fact that we usually follow the principle of Rov in halacha. What is the source for this halacha that we follow Rov? So the Gemara in the beginning of Maseches Chulin, and that Yud, and Aleph, Olam, and Sugya, tells us that the source for the concept of Rov is a poskin. The Torah tells us in Parshas Mishpatim, when you have a shaila and a dinim ominis, so you're not sure what to do, you have a suffix, you're not sure whether Reuben did break his window, didn't break his window. There are no aid in Bedava. Reuben says one thing, Shimon says something else, we're not sure, we're trying to figure out what do you do. So the Beis Din has a din Torah, and two of the Dayanim come to the conclusion that he's chayev, and one Dayan comes to the conclusion that he's potter. So the Halacha says he's chayev, so the Halacha says you follow Rov. So you see from here, says the Gemara, that the Torah uses Rov as a mechanism of resolving doubts in Halacha. So just as a principle of Rov in the realm of Dinei Mamonis, and we'll see as we go on some of the limitations of that principle in Dinei Mamonis, but just as a klal of Rov, but primarily in terms of numbers of Dayanim, so the Gemara says we can extrapolate from there to other areas of Halacha. Let's say, for example, in the realm of Kashrus, you can also follow the principle of Rov. What would be an application of that principle? So the Gemara quotes a famous brice that appears in about 5 different places in Shas, that there are 10 stores in town, 9 of them are selling kosher food, 1 of them is selling trefil food, and you find a piece of meat in the middle of the town, so you find a piece of meat lying on the ground, are you permitted to eat the meat or not? So if the Rabbanan, there may be certain technical issues with eating that meat, but midaraisa, one would be permitted to eat the meat, because we have a right to say, called the parish luba parish, that the robe indicates that the meat came from the kosher store, and therefore Achiram Mahatos. So the Gemara is quite clear that Achiram Mahatos is a din min haTorah. It works to resolve the doubt, to overcome the issue of Sfeika deraisa of the Chumrah. One is permitted to follow robe, and the source for robe is the pasuk originally by Dayanim, but we have a tradition that pasuk not only refers to the Mishkar Dayanim, but applies to other areas of Halacha as well. Within the sugya of Rov that appears in the first paragraph of Maseches Chulin, the Gemara draws an important conceptual difference between two fundamentally different types of Rov. There's what's called in Halacha Ruba de Isa Kaman, and there's what's called in Halacha Ruba de Leisa Kaman. A Ruba de Isa Kaman is the example that we just gave, that as its name sounds, a Rov Shaomid Lefaneinu, that all the numbers are tallied up in front of us, we can count off on our fingers what the Rov is. So you have 10 stores, let's say Professor Barton is walking down Cedar Lane in Teaneck, so there are 10 stores there, so 9 of them are kosher, one of them is treif, so you count up the stores. I count the stores kosher, no, come on, help me, come on. So, that's the Bistro, no, come on, what else? Cedar Lane, come on. What else is Cedar Lane? No, Zark, come on. What? Shelly's, a piece of meat coming from Shelly's, that would be a problem, okay, Shelly's is a milk store. Mavat, okay, maybe it came from the takeout of Madan, okay, good, so I see all the bikini here. So yeah, you guys talk 5 pounds, that I can't help you. So again, you have 10 stores, and either it's on a kosher, one is on the trade, I can manage to count off the numbers, kosher, 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 trade. So Ruka D. Sikula means that everything is accounted for, and I can manage to point to the numbers of the Dabra, also the Dabra Muta. Ruba de Leisa Kaman is a different type of a Rov. Ruba de Leisa Kaman means that we can actually point to numbers, but there seems to be some kind of a statistical, a probability, and a natural order of things in the Yerushalayim created in the world. So there's a natural order of things that indicates that there's probably a Rov in the following direction. So let's say, for example, the Gemara says that Rov Behemoth ain't on Trefos. Most animals are not trefus animals. Trefus means an animal that has some kind of something wrong with one of the internal organs, which is going to cause it to die in the near future. The whole third paragraph of the Maseches Chulin dedicated to this. So let's say if an animal has a hole in the heart, hole in the lung, hole in the brain, those kinds of things will make it into a trefus. So most animals are not walking around like that, because harai, most animals aren't dropping dead all the time. So most animals are ksheiros, and every once in a while you get an animal that's a trefa. So therefore, the halacha is when you shech an animal, one doesn't have to check for all the trefos. One doesn't have to look around and open up the animal a gamrei and see whether it has a hole in its heart, hole in its head, hole in its stomach. It's not necessary. You can follow the rov. The rov behemas are einam trefos. The only exception to this is problems in the lung that the Rishonim explained. that lung you have to check, because that's what's called the mir hamotzah. Even though min haTorah, according to most min haTorah, you don't have to be concerned even with trepas in the lungs, but the derabanan you have to be concerned with them, because since there's a stronger possibility that they exist, even though it's not any chance a sofek hashochol, but afal pi chein, the derabanan you have to be chayshish, you have to be bodek the lungs. That's what we do. Of course, after we shecht meat, after we shecht it out, we check the lungs, but we don't check anything else. Everything else we just rely on the rov and finish. So that type of a rove, that rove behemoths are ksheros, that's not a rove that we actually pointed to. Nobody sat down and counted up all the animals in the world and said, kosher, 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 oh, that animal, we did an MRI on that animal, it's got a hole in the law, that's a trefa. No, the Hayat Varmiel, we just look at the world and we see that most animals aren't dying right and left. So Mistama, that indicates to us that there is such a rove. But let's say the Gemara gives another rove. The Gemara says, the rove nashim yodos tisha. You have some kind of a latest suffix, whether this baby was, who the father of the baby is, again, different types of complicated shailas. So the Gemara throws into this, some of those shailas, this klal of rove nashim yodos tisha. That most women give birth after 9 months. Most women don't give birth premature. There are some women who do give birth premature, but most babies are born after 9 months. How do we know that? Means we sat down and counted every single woman. The answer is, you hear. Every once in a while you hear there's a preterm baby. But remember the rumor, most babies that are born end up being born normally, healthy at the right time. So Rov Nashma Yodos Lakisha. So that's a different type of Rov. That's a Ruba de Lasek Amar. So the Gemara Meseraschum says that Rov is a Chiddush HaTorah. We never would have said Rov without a Pasuk. And if the Chiddush HaTorah for Rov is Acherav Mahatos, so Bishlam Ruba de Isa Kamon, that's derived from Acherav Mahatos, is the case of Dayan. That's like the case of the stars. You can count off in your fingers what the davra mutra is, what the davra asur is. Once you're in the realm of Aruba Delaysa, come on, so that's not the same as the Dayanim. So how do you know? Do you follow Rove? So the Muslim says, what by Kasha? The Gemara says, how do you know? Just, you can't just stop make up the principle of Rove. Rove is a concept in a Torah. You can be matri, assume their eyes are based on Rove. You have to have a source in Chumash for it. And if the source in Chumash has to be similar to the case of the Dayanim, which is a Ruba Isa Kamon, the Hechateis, there's a concept of Ruba Delaysa Kamon Bechlau. So the Gemara is so bothered with this question, it goes off on a tangent for a block and a half to try to figure out what the answer to this question is. The Gemara tries a half a dozen other Mekairas to try to support the bolsa, this idea that there exists a Ruba Delaysa Kamon, and every single one fails. And at the end of the day, the Gemara never quotes a pasuk. The Gemara mamash gives up, throws its hands up, and move on to the next sugya. So Rashi and then Gemara says, so what's the answer? So Tataka, how do you know it works? Of course it works. There are Gemaras, there are sugyas throughout Shas that accept the principle of Ruba Delaysa Kamon. So Tataka, what is the mokar? So Rashi quotes two possibilities. Rashi says that maybe the Gemara realized in the end that even though Ruba Delaysa Kamon is different conceptually than Ruba Delaysa Kamon, it's not that different. It's not all that different, and perhaps we could derive one from another. So the whole daf and a half and chulin was assuming that the two are too different, too fundamentally different from one another, so you can't derive one from another. At the end of the day, the Kamash Rulan, the last line of the sugi, when all else fails, so it must be the Chazal understood that no, they're really not all that different. They're a little bit different, but that difference is minor, and therefore we can in fact derive both the Ruba Deisa Kaman and the Ruba Deleisa Kaman from the same pasuk of Acher Amahatas. Then Rashi writes, maybe the Gemara's Havamina was Taka, very good Havamina, that it's Taka Maskana, that the robes are really, really different from one another. So what's the Mokka from Ruba Deleisa Kaman? So when there's no other Mokka on Tarshav Chazav, you have to put it on the Tarshav Apeh. So says Rashi, fills his hands up and he says, Mistabat Salacha Mashav Mishinai. He says, if there's no Mokka for it, we can't find the Mokka, but we know that din is true. It must be that it was Nimzal Amashav Mishinai, it was Taka pure Tarshav Apeh. So at the end of the day, it is crystal clear from all of Shas that there's a principle, both the principle of Ruba Deleisa Kaman and a principle of Ruba Deleisa Kaman. They both work in HaTorah. Nobody ever doubted that that's true. That is for sure true. Ruba Deleisa Kaman, we know for a fact, is derived from Acher Amahatas. That's the Beferish Gemara. Ruba Deleisa Kaman is somewhat unclear what the Mokar is. According to one day in Rashi, it's also ultimately derived from Acher Amahatas. According to the second day in Rashi, it's derived from a totally different Mokar. It's based on Allah Moshe Messina. So the Dinim are true. Both Dinim are true. But the Mokar for Ruba Deleisa Kaman is subject to 2 days in Rashi. These two roves that the Gemara presents are different from one another, so one could perhaps suggest that not only are they different from one another just in terms of description of them, but they may be fundamentally different from one another. The very essence, the very nature, how these roves work may be radically different from one another based on the following fundamental chakira about the very nature of rove. So we started out the Shia by saying that very often we have stakes in life, we have stakes in halacha, we're not sure what to do, we don't know which way to turn. And the Torah gives us a clue. The Torah says, follow Rov. So what's the nature of this halacha that the Torah says, follow Rov? Let's say, Lamashal, you have your 10 stores, none of them are selling kosher, one's selling trade. So the Torah says, it's okay, you can eat, it's fine, it's no problem. So what's the nature of that halacha of Aruchiram, have to say you eat the meat? So Yesh Lachbor, is the nature of this halacha that the Torah is mevar for you with the suffix is, that the Torah is saying that this is the mitzvah, means it's not a suffix anymore. The Torah is telling you that since there's a 90% chance it's from kosher store, so a taka is from a kosher store. You assume it's from a kosher store, and it's no longer related to suffix anymore. The Torah is mevar for you, the Torah is nachriya for you, what the facts on the ground are. Is that the pshat and rov? Was it pshat and rov? Nothing like that at all. Rov is still a suffix. I have no idea. Maybe it is kosher, maybe it's not kosher. I have no idea. It's really talking about the sacred derais of the chumrah. Except that the Torah says, apesha also apesha yitir, the same Torah Kedosha that told us that we're not allowed to eat rave. So the Torah Kedosha tells us that when you have a rove that indicates that it's probably kosher, so you can go ahead and eat it. The Torah says it's okay, it's on me, it's on a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Does it mean that the Torah is telling us that it's kosher? Does it mean that the Torah is telling us we're mevar the sofek? Is nishkin sofek anymore? The Torah was never mevar the sofek. We don't know what it is. Whatever the DNA is, if it comes from the treif animal, so it's treif. If it comes from the kosher animal, it's kosher. To be determined by the Rebbeinu Shlom. Shmaya guy will figure out what it is, but we don't have to be concerned with that. We're allowed to eat it, even though it's still a suffix. So that's the fundamental lomdish shayla. What's the nature of rov? Does rov mean that it's not a suffix anymore? Rov means it's pater is vade kosher. Or does rov mean it remains a suffix, but even though it's a suffix, the Torah permits you to eat it? So this fundamental question, this fundamental chakira about Rov, the Sheikh Shmaitza has a tremendous chiddush, where the Sheikh Shmaitza claims that he thinks that different Rovs work in different ways. Not all Rovs follow one of these two derachim. Perhaps, says the Sheikh Shmaitza, that one follows one and the other follows the other. Says the Sheikh Shmaitza, he thinks that a Ruba, the Leisa Kamon, is B'teres Biror. We'll see in a moment what forced him to say this. A Ruba, the Leisa Kamon, is B'teres Biror, whereas a Ruba, the Isa Kamon, is B'teres Din Hanhoga. The second thought of the Hakira, usually the Achorim call it Hanhoga, or Din Hanhoga, whatever you want to call it. But it still is considered to be a Suffolk. So says the Sheikh Shmaitza, that a Ruba, the Leisa Kamon, is not a Suffolk anymore. It's no more Suffolk. The Suffolk was already... The Nimna Vagamu, the Rabban Shalom, was read in the Vaya for us to Suffolk by Ruba de Laisa Kaman. By Ruba de Isa Kaman, it still remains as a Suffolk. What in the world prompted the Sheikh Shmaitza to say such a seemingly arbitrary chiluk? So the Sheikh Shmaitza points out that there's a stira between two halachas that seems to point in this direction. So just a little bit of a background, in order to appreciate where the Shmaitza is coming from, we have to just understand both of these halachas, and then to understand what the apparent contradiction between the two halachas is, and then to understand how the Sheikh Shmaitza attempted to solve this problem. So one of the halachas touches on something that we spoke about in the past, and that's the halacha of Suffolk Mamzer. So we mentioned that Min HaTorah, according to everybody, even according to the Rambam, there's a special din that Suffolk Mamzer is mutter. The only time that there's an Issa Mamzerus in the Torah is only when you have a person who's of a Vade Mamzer, and this person is a Vade Mamzer wants to marry someone who's a Kohol Vade, someone who's a 100% kosher Jew, Felishim Suffolk. Le'yovan Mamzer Bekal Hashem, so the Gemara of the Drasha, Le'yovan Mamzer, Mamzer means Mamzer Vade, Velo Mamzer Suffolk. The Kal Hashem means Kal Hashem, Kal Vadiv Lo Kal Sofek. If there's any Sofek, either in the status of the Mamzer or in the status of the person, the potential mate for the Mamzer, if there's any latest of Sofek, so that's not considered to be an Isser of Mamzeras, and Sofek, the Halach of Sofek Mamzer will kick in. So comes the Sheikh Shmaitza and raises the following somewhat strange question. He says, in order for the Isser of Mamzeras to kick in, you have to have a Mamzer Vadai marrying a Kohol Vadai. Says the Sheikh Shmaitza, do we ever have a Kohol Vadai? Should anybody say with 100% certainty that they're really kosher? Kind of a strange question is that. So the Gemara says in that same sugi in the beginning of Maseches Chul, Dabyur and Dabyur Aleph, the Gemara says that how does a person ever know who his father really is? His mother, he knows, he came out of his mother's body, knows who his mother is. How does a person ever really know who his father is? So the Gemara says, Rov Bilas Acharbal, you assume there's a Rov, hopefully there's a very, very good Rov, that his father is his father, but you never really know with 100% certainty. It's ultimately only a rove. That's why some say when you make a mishaberach, well, you mention the mother's name, not the father's name, because you don't want to take any chances to get the wrong person. But that may or may not be true, that answer. But whatever, then I'm back to the story. So, since you never really know who the father is, so I asked the Sheikh Shmaitza, so how could you ever invoke the principle of Mamzi. How can you ever tell a Mamzi he's not allowed to marry this girl? How do you know? Maybe she's not a Basko Kshera. Maybe she's also a Mamzeres. Maybe. One in a million chances. Maybe. So says the Shmaita, Zaman from there, you see from here, that that's not called a Sofik. When you have a Rove, so Rove is already mean, it's not a Sofik anymore. The minimum of Sofik Mamzi mean when you have a 50-50 Sofik. That's called a Sofik Mamzi. But if you have a Rove indicating that the person is a Mamzer, or the Rove indicating the person is a Kohol, so Rove is already Mafkiya the Din, is already Mafkiya the Din Sofik, and it's no longer subject to the Kul of Sofik Mamzi. That's the Sheish Maisis Raya from the Sugin beginning of Maseres Chulin, but the Gemara in the end of Maseres Kiddushin. However, this clear implication of this halacha of Sofik Mamzer flies in the face of a sugi that appears in Maseches Bava Metzia and Davav Amadeus. The sugi was called Kofetz Echem and Amenuyim. The truth is, it's not really a Bava Metzia sugi, it's really a Maseches Bechara sugi, but more people learn the first Bechara Bava Metzia than the last Bechara Bechara, so we'll quote it from Bava Metzia. But it's really a Mishnah in the place. The Gemara in Davav Amadeus and Bava Metzia quotes a Mishnah Bechairus that says, speaks about the following Shaila. There is a mitzvah of Maisa Behema that every year you have to count off your animals. The 10th animal is Asiri Yeh Kodesh LaHashem. So the Mishnah says the following. What is that law? You have all your animals in the barn, you know, they're all coming out, and as they're walking out of the barn, so you count off one, you touch with a stick, 1, 2, 3, 4, 10th one is a Reza Kodesh, Reza Maisa Behema. So you have 1,000 animals still in the barn waiting to go through. Once an animal goes through, then it becomes potter. That's no longer part of the minion. No longer counts towards the Maisa Behema anymore. So you had a whole bunch of animals walking through, and now one of the animals got a little bit jumpy, and Kofetz Echem Amenuyim. One of the animals that was already counted, so jumped back into the barn. So now it goes back into the barn. Now you have a big problem. You have 10,000 animals still inside the barn, which 999,000 of them are still chayv in Maisa Behema. There's one lone animal that already is potter. There's one animal that already jumped the gun. There's one animal that is already was niftar, and that animal, once it's niftar, once it was counted and it didn't reach the magic number 10, so then that animal can never be brought as a carbon Maisa Behema anymore. So now, Gabal, what are you going to do? Now I'm stuck. I got thousands of animals in here that are still chayav, potentially in Maisa Behema. You got one animal that's ruining it for everybody. What do you do? So says the Mishnah, Kofa Tzecha Reminui L'socha and Kul Peturin. So the whole mitzvah Maisa Behema is off on this barn. The whole barn gets a freebie. Everybody's potter. Why is everybody potter? So the Gemara in Bamitzia Davav explains, because there's a special Gzeres HaKosuf, Ha'asiri Yiyakaydesh LaHashem, Asiri Vadeh V'lo Asiri Sofek, that you can only set aside Maisa Behema if you know for the fact that it's Maisa Behema. If you're not sure that it's Maisa Behema, so then the mitzvah Maisa Behema doesn't apply. So here, if you're going to pick one of these animals out of the barn and you're going to say, this is going to be Maisa Behema, how do you know? Maybe this is the bad animal. Maybe this is one of the 10,000 that already had jumped out before, that already gone out before and had jumped back inside. So it turns out that you're going to be setting aside something for Maisa Behema that's not royally cast to be Maisa Behema. But you don't know. You don't know. You don't know. So suffering Maisa Behema, Lakula, Asir Rivadeh, V'lo Asiri Sofek. That's what the Gemara explains. That's the pshat of the Mishnah at the end of Maseches Bechoros. So the Shit Mekubetzes in Bava Metzia, that sugyan, Rava Medeis, asks the question that the Shita says, I don't understand. There's a rove. You have 10,000 animals which are chayav in Maisa Behema. You have one animal that's messing it up for everybody. That's potter for Maisa Behema. Aren't the overwhelming odds that the animal that you're going to pick for Maisa Behema is going to be one that's chayav in Maisa Behema? So what do you mean, Kofetz Echem Amenuyim, Kula Peturim? The rove indicates that it's going to be chayav in Maisa Behema. So why do you follow rove? So says the Shulchan Mekubetz says, true, there's a principle of Rov, but Midei Sveika Lo Nafka says the Shittim Gubat says, even though the Torah tells us to follow Rov by the Yonim and by Yisrael Hefi, etc., but it's still called a Sofek. The Torah never told us it's not a Sofek. It's still wiped the Sofek. It still remains a Sofek. And the Maisa Behema, where there's a special Gzeres HaKosov of Asiri Vadeh Velo Asiri Sofek. So the halacha is that all the animals are potter misafik, notwithstanding the existence of the rove. So comes a Sheish Maitz and says, l'chora, these two halachas of Maisa Behema and Safik Mamzer are mamish contradict one another. Because the way you have to make up your mind to decide, when you have a situation of following rove, is it still called a Safik or not? So that's our original Chakira. Is rove a Mavar? Does rove tell me that it's no longer a Safik? Or does rove say it's still a Safik? It was a Safik. It will always be a Safik. You're still allowed to follow the rove. So what does rove do? So Nafkamina Ladina, these two cases, is it called the Safik Kol? Is it called the Safik Maisa Behema? And we're getting contradictory indications in the halacha. And in the sugi of Maisa Behema, so the Shittim Kubetzes tells us that it's still called the Safik, and therefore it's potter, notwithstanding the existence of a rove. Now, she ain't getting the sugya of Safik Mamzer, so we're saying that it's also for a Mamzer to marry a Bas Yisrael, even though there's an outside chance that the Bas Yisrael is also a Mamzeres, because she's only Kshera based on Rov. So Huchas Mamzera seems to point in the direction that that Rov is Machriya, that Rov is Mevara, Rov is the end of the day. Once there's a Rov, there's no more Safik, whereas Huchas Maisa Behema seems to point in the exact opposite direction, that Midei Sfekel and Afka, that it's still called the Safik. So how do you resolve this problem? So comes the Sheish Meis and says the answer to this problem is very simple, that these are two different types of Rovs at work. The Rov of Behemos, of Kofat Zechem and Amenuyim, that's a Ruba de Issa. Come on, I mean, we can count. We know there was, we had 100 animals inside the barn. One animal ran out and then ran back in again. So we know 100 in this direction, one in the other direction. So that's called the classic Ruba de Issa Kamon. The other Rov, the Rov of Maseches Chulin, the Rov of Mamzeros, the Rov of Ilos Achar Abal, that's not a Ruba de Issa Kamon. Nobody sat and pointed and said, this woman was never Nivlet to somebody else, that she was never Nivlet to she. No. Rov Ilos Achar Abal means that we see that most women are married, most women are from, most people are Shomer Torah Mitzvahs, so it's understood that most women are Rov Ilos Achar Abal. So that's a classic Ruba de Leisa Kamon. So says the Sheish Meitzer, so that's the secret to the distinction between the two sugyas. When you have a Ruba de Leisa Kamon, the Ruba de Leisa Kamon is in a certain sense stronger than a Ruba de Issa Kamon. A Ruba de Leisa Kamon is Mevara. A Ruba de Leisa Kamon tells me it's not a Suffolk anymore. It's not a Suffolk. So this person, the mom who wants to marry, this is not a Suffolk call, Suffolk not call. This woman is a Vada Bekalashem. She's a Vada Kshera. Since Rabbi Yosef Habal paskins up, but she's Kshera, but there is Vadai. It's Machriya, the Shail, it's Mevara, the Suffolk, and it's not called a Suffolk anymore. Masha'in came, the Ruba de Issa Kamon above Metziah Davov, so that's a different type of a robe. That's a Ruba de Issa Kamon. Ruba de Issa Kamon, the Shidduch Kibetzis claims, is still called a Safek, it's still like the Safek, it remains a Safek, notwithstanding the existence of the robe. So this is the Sheish Meitzer's whole beautiful Shidduch Torah to explain that our original Chakir about the nature of robe, both Stadim are right, it's just that the two different Stadim are correct, because we're talking about fundamentally two different types of robe. What's interesting about this Sheish Meitzer is that Lechora, this Sheish Meitzer only seems to, the Phineas Naiti, to make sense if one day in Rashi is correct. Rashi had 2 days in the beginning of Maseches Chulin. What's the Mokor for Ruba de Issa? What's the Mokor for Ruba de Leisa? Come on. It's not really based on the Pasuk explicitly. So how did Chazal know it? So Rashi said that either it was Halacha Moshe Mesinai, or it was also based on the Pasuk. It was also similar enough to Ruba de Issa. Come on. So Lechora, according to Shmaitz, it's impossible to understand that it's similar. According to the Sheish Meitzer, it is so radically different, it is so fundamentally different, not just in terms of descriptively different, but it's fundamentally, the principle is different. One is working with Torah Mevar, one is working with Torah Din Hanhoga, so those two things can be learned out one from another, that's the same din. Belishim Sofi, you can learn out one from another because it's basically fundamentally the same. They are not at all the same, they are fundamentally different from one another. So according to the Dayan Rashi, who says that Ruba de Leisa Kamon at the end of the day is derived from Ruba de Issa Kamon, it's very difficult to invoke this lamdas of the Sheish Meitzer. If you hold it, at the end of the day, there are two different mekayrus. One is not possible. One's halacha Moshe Mesinai. Okay, so they're different halachas, different mekayrus. They can work in radically different ways. So even though it's very enticing to say the Shtipotar of the Sheish Meitzer, we shouldn't get carried away to think that everybody accepts this, that the many Acharonim disagreed with the Sheish Meitzer. Many Acharonim said that Ruba de Issa Kamon and Ruba de Leisa Kamon are not so radically different to create this whole Shtipotar to explain it to Gemaras. So what other options are available for us if we don't want to accept the Sheish Meitzer's Chiluk? Is there anything else available for us to explain away this outright contradiction between Safik Mamzer in contrast to Safik Meitzer Behema? So Rabbi Kivager suggests that perhaps the difference is based on a fundamentally different yisayin. Rabbi Kivager says that there are two different types of sveikis. Sometimes you have a sofek where it's a very localized sofek. There's really only one nafkamina ladin. There's really only one thing that we care about that emanates from this sofek. And sometimes you have sveikis which affect mamish or a whole series of different halachas. So says Rabbi Kivager LeMarshal, this sofek in terms of ma'aseh behemah, is there any other, do we care about the shaila for any other area of halacha? whether this animal is chayv in ma'aseh beima, potter in ma'aseh beima, is this negeh for Shabbos, for hilchos taras mishpacha, for any other area of halacha? No, this is the ma'aseh beima shayla, it's a localized shayla, just legabe ma'aseh beima. Now, she'enke, in the question of whether this woman is kasheira lava b'kol or not, whether this woman is a kal adai, whether her father is a father, that is nafkamina ladina for half a dozen other reasons. Let's say nafkamina ladina, what if this woman who she would hit her father, who we think her father is she chayev as misa or not? What if she would curse her father? Is she chayev as in the midst of kibbutz abayim? Those are shaylas that affect other areas of halacha. That's not just a localized hilchos mamzerus shayla. That's a shayla: is this the father? Is this not the father? That is nafkaminas in kol tera kula. So says Rabbi Kivegar, this klal of suffik mamzer that suffik mamzer is different. That breaks all rules. So says Rabbi Kivegar, when you have a robe that says this person is a mamzer, you have a robe that says this person is a kal Hashem. If that robe affects other areas of halacha, so just as in other areas of halacha, we're going to follow Rove. We must follow Rove to say this person is the father, and therefore if she hits him, she's chayav misa. This person is the father, and therefore she's mechuyavus in the mitzvah of kibbutz abayim. So mimeila we have to say this person is the father, and mimeila she's a kahal vaday. You can't say that no, it's a suffing mamz. It's a stira galuya. That's a stira mineu bay in piskei halacha. So once this suffix is relevant to other areas of halacha, and Rove kicks in and is machriya the shayla in other areas of halacha, then mimeila legal it's going to be machriya the shayla and uchas mamzeris. Also, Mashiachin came in Hilchas Ma'aseh Behema. I couldn't care less about Ma'aseh Behema Shaila outside of the realm. If you're learning the Chayrus and you're passing Ma'aseh Behema Shailas, then this Shaila becomes important. So, since this is a localized suffix, we have a right to say that it's still called a suffix. We don't have to invoke Rove. Rove doesn't work in Ma'aseh Behema. It's still called a suffix. Only in Hilchas Mamzeris, where Balav Hochi the Rove is Machriya. Once the Rove is Machriya for other areas of Halacha, then it's Machriya for Hilchas Mamzeris. As well. So,
the
Pious
woman on the
last,
this is
a subject. Yeah, it's like an Yeshiva Shijo, but in terms of real Nafkamina Zadina. So, I'll call upon him, if one wants to go the route of the Sheikh Shmaitz and fundamentally distinguish between different types of roves, that's one mahalach. If one doesn't want to go that route, then perhaps one will have to fall back on him today. Hopefully, mention him tomorrow. So, hopefully, we'll continue. There's a third mahalach to understand this, which opens up for us a whole other areas of Allah.
We're saying that
no, because in other areas of halacha we follow Rove. So yeah, so we follow Rove for Misa also. We'll talk about that.